Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Sarah and I have talked many times about our desire to age as gracefully as possible, and skincare is a huge piece of that. I spend a lot of time and money thinking about my skin, and I have added Ritual to my routine, which just gives me a lot of comfort. Ritual is here for us. They have created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted clinical studies, so we know it's working. They're taking the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual Hyacera is one of several Ritual products that I love. I take the daily multivitamin, I take a probiotic, and Hyacera is that once daily skincare supplement that is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. I recently met a friend for the first time in person as opposed to online, and we were discussing the fact that I am 43, and she said, "I cannot believe how young you look," and I thought, thank you, Ritual, for that. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off.
We just watched the third and final presidential debate.
We're doing our best to bring you some late night nuance.
This is Sarah from the left.
And Beth from the right.
You're listening to Pantsuit Politics.
No shouting, no insults, plenty of nuance.
Welcome to the briefcase. Before we get started with our debate analysis late night on Wednesday night, just please, if you can, leave us a review on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and if you have a chance, check out our website where you can subscribe to our email, pick yourself up a Pantsuit Politics t-shirt, or become a supporter of the show.
So we just watched the last presidential debate. Sarah, I'm sure that you have immediate reactions.
I mean, I think that I was not prepared for Donald Trump to actually surprise me with the depth of his ridiculousness. Actually, ridiculous is too light of a word, with his the dangerous aspect of his candidacy. But when he said, "I will not, you'll have to wait and see. I will wait and see what happens, whether or not I concede," I literally gasped. I went, I could not believe he said that.
I think that will be probably the most enduring point of this debate. I don't, you know, even though this debate was so much more issue oriented and there is a lot to talk about on the issues, that's the moment that's going to get the most play.
Deservedly so, because it's dangerous.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's dangerous.
And it's almost like Chris Wallace was framing up for him, do you understand what a big deal this is? And I don't know if Trump is serious, if he knows that this is a big deal and that's why he's doing it. But what was interesting to me was not just that he said, well, I'll keep you in suspense, like I'll decide.
As if we're, like, writing for a commercial break. Ugh.
But then he went on to say, basically, that she should never have been allowed to run for office because of her alleged crimes. And so it's almost like a spoiler, right? Like, he's telling us what the argument's going to be if he loses. So I think it's almost certain that he's going to challenge the results if he's actually going to do that. There's a part of me, though, that thinks all of this is just folded into, you know, Trump, Bannon, and Hannity, maybe, or Ailes are going to start some media empire when this is over that's all about keeping people pissed off.
And it's just so despicable. It's just so undermining to our very systems, which are not perfect, but they are built on a certain level of trust and the cynicism. And it's not even just the I don't even know the word for it. It's like cynical. It's just using it all for their own selfish purposes. Like, there's stuff at stake here.
And I think this is probably the biggest issue at stake. If we can't rely on a peaceful transition of power from one president to the next, that is the most fundamental. That's even more fundamental to our democracy than our Supreme Court in a lot of ways, right? Like, that is a very, very big deal.
Well, and I wrote this on my personal Facebook page. What really bothers me about this whole the election is rigged, you know, besides the obvious, our elections are decentralized, it would be impossible to coordinate election fraud on that level, especially with something for a presidential, to sway the results in a presidential election, is that, you know, the first presidential election I ever voted in was Bush v. Gore. And the person I voted for won the popular vote and then did not become president. And so I just don't have a lot of patience for people who tell me the system is rigged and they don't want to participate in it. My very first presidential election, I voted for somebody who won the popular vote and did not become president. And here I am running for office and participating in this system because I believe in our democracy and I believe in the system. And just, it infuriates me that people act, oh, like, you're just so naive, or like, don't you understand? I watch this one video, elections are rigged all the time. It just, it makes me so angry. And when he said that, I just didn't know. I cannot believe he would sink to that level. And I think that any self-respecting major Republican leader who does not come out tomorrow and say, this is dangerous, this is not okay, like, if Mitch McConnell just ignores this and doesn't say, what Donald Trump said is dangerous, we will respect the results of this election, like, I'm just done.
So I think that moment will endure. I also think the comment, the such a nasty woman comment, will be used over and over again. Those, to me, are the two things that really stick out on Trump side.
And I have to wonder if there aren't going to be another wave of women who are like, okay, you're going to stand up on a national stage and call these 9 women liars. So here I am. It also happened to me.
I think that's true. And I also think that on the other side of the coin, if Trump is smart, he will run Hillary Clinton's comments on abortion in some ads before the election in targeted places, because I think that while I personally appreciated the way she owned the topic and spoke about a woman's unequivocal right to choose and the pain associated with late-term abortions, you know, it's not this demonic thing. That was extreme language for a huge portion of the population, especially in states like Utah and Texas. And, I mean, you know, the states that seem to be in play for her, I think it's possible that those remarks could have a pretty significant impact. And I wondered, you know, throughout the debate, I felt like she went pretty hard to the left on a lot of topics, very unapologetically, which I appreciate the honesty of it. But would she have done that had, you know, were she not up 11, 10, 7 in a lot of polls right now?
I think that, yeah, I mean, I was watching with my book club for part of it, and my friend was like, see, this is why people can't vote for her, is because of her stance on abortion. The polling, if you believe that Hillary, and I don't really think this is the sole motivation for her, but a majority of Americans support Roe v. Wade. The people who don't are very vocal and feel very strongly about it. But this isn't some dangerous thing. Now, will you alienate evangelical Christians and people who are opposed to abortion because of religious reasons? Yes. But it's not this, you know, it's not a 50-50 thing. It's not. A majority of Americans support a woman's right to choose and don't want to see Roe v. Wade overturned. It's not this extreme position. And I think she has accepted that and is sort of owning it in a way.
And yeah, so, I mean, just don't think the majority of Americans are as far down that road as she is. I think you're right that a majority of Americans support, to some extent, Roe versus Wade. But I think that her comments went to a place that most Americans aren't ready to go. And look, I say this recognizing I'm completely at odds with my party on this issue. Like, I'm full libertarian on this. We can talk about it as a spiritual matter separately, but I don't think the government has a role in this.
And I thought her argument for that was really strong.
I did too.
I think a majority of Americans, when she says, look, I've been in China where they force abortions, or where they force abortions, in Romania where they force women to carry babies, and we are not that country and the government does not belong in this decision. I think a majority of Americans agree with her.
Yeah, but that section won't make the ad, Sarah. That's what I'm saying. Like, there, mm-hmm. you can cut that in a way that it really turns some people off. So I think that could be enduring if the Trump team has the discipline to go down that road, which is a... And, you know, there were a lot of, like, I thought very hard left sort of I'm not playing to the center moments for her tonight. So I'm very interested to see what effect, if any, that has on the polling.
I thought one of her best response was the 30-year response, where she was like, yeah, let's talk about what I've been doing for the last 30 years. When she said, when I was in the Situation Room hunting Osama bin Laden, you were hosting Celebrity Apprentice. Like, I thought she teed that, you know, they have a part of her website on that where you can, like, look at where she was and where he was at the same time. I thought that was a very strong answer. She was clearly ready for that.
Can I tell
Hillary,
you
Hillary, you've been the queen of everything for 30 years. Why didn't you fix it?
Here's what I don't buy about that. I feel like she's always, not her personally, but the campaign is always trying to have it both ways. So it's, I'm so experienced. I've been around forever. I'm the most qualified person in the history of ever. But you can't hold me accountable for anything that happened during that period. And I get that a senator alone can't change the tax code. And I get that one secretary of state can't shape all of our foreign policy. And so I understand the needle that she's trying to thread there, and that it's a credible needle, right? But it still just comes off in this way that sort of irks me, because I think it is really playing both sides. I mean, at what point does your leadership have to produce the kind? I mean, I feel like she's always sort of walking away from the results in some instances. That was not a good sentence because it's 11 o'clock at night. She's always trying to in some instances, but
I think you got to it though. I think the experience and the results are two different things. And a lifetime of public service produces an incredible diversity and amount of experiences, but it doesn't always produce results because it's governing, not, you know, when people say we should run the government like a business, it doesn't work like that. It just doesn't. You don't get to just come in and ship shape things up. It doesn't work like that in business either. Just ask what's her name in charge of Yahoo. So I just think that, you know, I think that is a nuanced and completely accurate depiction of what it's like to be spend decades in public service, in which you gain a lot of experiences, you meet a lot of different people, but it is slow going as far as results, and it is three steps forwards and two steps back, and you hope that the math at the end, you're in a better place. So it doesn't bother me at all, mainly because I've worked in Washington, D.C., Yeah, I don't think that is an accurate depiction. I think he had a lot of little memes tonight, but just sometimes it was funny because I heard on, I can't think of the name of the NPR show. They had like three undecided voters from swing states on. And somebody said, I really hope they talk about Social Security and Medicare. So when Chris Wallace, even though this person on this radio show got on my nerves, when Chris Wallace asked that question, I was like, goody, look, that girl's going to get her question asked. Like, this is a really important question. Let's listen. And he just jabbered on about Obamacare. And I'm like, did you hear the question? Like, it was so obvious he had no idea what to say about Social Security, the Social Security Trust Fund, or he struggled. Struggle was real in that answer.
He had a number of opportunities tonight to showcase some depth of substantive understanding and didn't take any of them, in my opinion. But something, so going back to the point about Hillary Clinton's experience, I think you're right. And I think that it highlights in Trump his real authoritarian streak, because I think he does run his business in mm-hmm. the way that he's talking about running the country. You know, most businesses, like your example of Yahoo is a great one. Most businesses, things don't turn on a dime either. You wish they did mm-hmm. in the private sector, but there's a ton of building consensus and a couple steps forward and many, many back. And I don't think that's true in the Trump world. I mean, there are other businesses, right, where it's this person's name is on, well, everything in his case, and, you know, and it's their show. And I think that he thinks that the presidency would work that way. And that really comes across. I would love to see some counts of the number of times he uses the word I, because it's always, I am going to do this. I am going to make this. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to negotiate the best deal. And I think it does demonstrate a real lack of understanding of what the role actually is.
We are special breakfast people here at Pantsuit Politics, but not just when Beth and I are on the road. The truth is, I want something warm from the oven every Saturday morning and Sunday morning. It's just the truth. It makes it feel special, makes it feel exciting. I don't want to work at it. So the first time I ever saw Wild Grain, which is bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries, I was obsessed. You guys, I've been a member for over a year. It's amazing. It's so easy. Every item bakes from frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. You can fully customize your Wild Grain box. You can choose any combination of breads, pastas, pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. And for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit to start your subscription. Sometimes I make one single croissant just for me because I want to feel special, and they're so good. You heard me. Free croissants in every box. And $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit. That's wildgrain.com/pantsuit. Or you can use promo code pantsuit at checkout. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You guys, I love my Aura frames. I have one in my office. I have one in my kitchen. I have given one as a housewarming gift. I have given one as Mother's Day, Father's Day. They are the most amazing gifts because this app is a game changer, in my personal opinion, in digital frames. It makes it so, so easy to get the pictures on there and even videos. It plays like you're in Harry Potter, you guys. It is the best. I love mine so much. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Can I get something off my chest? Every day I feel a little pang of sadness because I think about Griffin going away to college. Y'all, he's a freshman in high school. This is not healthy or normal. This is why I have it on my list of things to talk to my therapist about. We all carry around these things, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us. Therapy is a safe space to get these things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. You gotta get it off your chest. And you can get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/pantsuit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/pantsuit.
Yeah, I think that, you know what else I saw when we were, when I was listening to him jabber on and was on Twitter trying to find something productive to read? Somebody had a graph of what people disliked about them. And his 35% was like his temperament, basically. He's too quick to anger. And her highest count was, don't know. I don't know what I don't like about her. Hers was like 34%. Her highest little response was, don't know. And I just thought, like, well, that's reflective, isn't it? Like, I know what I don't like about him. I don't really know what bugs me about her. Hmm. And I thought you saw that in people's response to their debate questions, too. Like, I just think, like, and she, and I think that's what it is, right? She can get at what people don't like about him, but it's hard for her to answer and sort of show in this debate environment, like, to assuage people's fears or people's concerns, because they're not really clear. That's what I kept seeing in people's Twitter and stuff.
I don't think that's entirely fair. I think that there are people who have legitimate and easily articulated concerns about Hillary Clinton. So, but I take your point that in terms of her likability, it is a hard thing for people to put their fingers on. I think concerns and likability are two different things. And I always agree that there is a gendered component in the way people are perceiving her. I thought in that regard, tonight was better than the last debate. And I think the format was better. Just the fact that they weren't having to physically interact the way that they did in the second debate, I thought that helped a lot. But for mm-hmm. me, the star of this debate and the most meaningful aspect of this debate was Chris Wallace and the way that he showed that if journalists want a substantive conversation, they can have it. And I thought it really demonstrated how many journalists have missed the opportunity to have that conversation throughout this entire cycle, going all the way back to the primaries. I thought he did an excellent job focusing in what could have been such a tragedy tonight.
Well, I mean, I think that it started really strong and it got off the rails a couple of points. He was definitely not playing with the audience at all. But the only part that bothered me about him is just he really pressed him on the peaceful transfer of power. And I guess he really didn't have a choice. But I just felt like it kind of was like, oh, we're leading up to, like, this is really dangerous what you're doing. Okay, next question. And that kind of bugged me, like the pivot to the next question.
But he got the answer. And that was his role, right? His role was to get the answer. And he got it. And I thought he did a really nice job. I thought he was very even with the two of them in terms of where he pressed and where he let things slide. And he covered more substantive terrain than has been covered in all of the debates so far.
Well, I'm not going to be mad at the last people just because, man, that tape came out on like Friday. You know what I mean? Like we all knew that was going to eat up a bunch of the time. But he did a good job of sort of addressing the sort of personal, not policy related stuff and not letting it take over. I mean, but he definitely lost control of them a couple of points where they were just, everybody was screaming.
Yeah, but he got it back around and he got the issues covered. My heart sank when he said, now we're going to talk about fitness to be president, because I thought we've done nothing but talk about fitness to be president and I'm just done with that topic. But I thought he handled it as well as anyone has. And I want a t-shirt that says I'm not a potted plant.
Lots of memes tonight.
Yeah, which doesn't speak real well for our country. That is not an encouraging sign. I had an interesting experience and frustrating tonight because we are having terrible storms where I am. We've had 3 tornado warnings tonight. And so for long periods of time, I couldn't see any of the debate. I could hear it most of the time, but there were moments that I went completely out, which frustrated me because it probably will surprise no one that I'm the person who likes to like live tweet and that just quoting what people are saying on our Twitter feed. And so I felt like I had these weird disappearances from my sort of record of the debate because I lost all my signal. So if you're following us on Twitter,
I had an interesting experience because I was watching part of it in the beginning with my book club and it was funny. You know, everybody was like, oh, I don't want to watch this. You know, I think that I saw Nate Silver's tweet that their debates have the least impact. And I think it's because people are just so frustrated and tired of it. I don't know if we'll see near the sort of repercussions or discussion or sort of impact of this one. I think people are just exhausted.
I think it just depends entirely on what people write about and put into ads, you know, because I do think I didn't talk to anybody today who was like, yeah, I'm going to watch the debate tonight. I mean, I think everybody's just sick to death of it.
I also enjoyed the part where he not only directly contradicted what his wife had said in an earlier interview, but when his defense to the accusations of sexual assault were, I didn't even apologize to my wife. I was like, where do you get these things, man?
It was weird. I thought Ivanka's statements this week, really distancing from the campaign, were telling.
Mm-hmm. Ivanka's brand is in crisis, yo. She's not playing. I saw somebody tweet that, now this is just anecdotal, that a bunch of the stores they went in, like the clearance rack was full of her stuff because people weren't buying it. Like, she's foolish if she doesn't think this will affect her brand, because it most certainly will.
Absolutely. And Ivanka seems to me to be very clear about her priorities.
Yeah.
Which I admire in some ways.
Well, they're a little selfish at this point when your father is threatening the very bedrock of our American democracy, but cool. Yeah.
Just clarity is what I admire, not how she prioritizes. Just clarity. Hey, the one thing that I thought Trump said that was substantively interesting tonight is that when he talked, and I didn't like the way he made the point, but I thought, well, there's like a grain of something kind of interesting in there. When he made the point about using more people on trade deals who have economic expertise. And now, I don't think that means you sub out your policymakers with CEOs or something. But I do think the idea of, and I'm sure this happens to an extent, but more public and more transparent participation of a broad cross-section of sort of industry, the nonprofit world, like all the different constituencies, you know, military personnel who are impacted by trade agreements. Like, that's a good idea that could go somewhere. You'd have to do it very carefully and think through all the interests and have a lot of disclosure about those interests. But, that's the kind of thing where you see these flashes of potential in what someone like a Donald Trump, minus all of the personal baggage, could have brought to this discussion. I don't know. I'm trying to maintain some nuance, right, and pull out something to talk about. And I feel like that has some potential as an idea. Now, you can't really be pulling out some potential of an idea in the final debate before the election and hang your hat on it. But I thought it was marginally interesting.
Well, I mean, I think that it sounds like a good idea, but these trade agreements are so complex, and bringing even more stakeholders to the table, I don't know if that would create better deals or just more complex hair splitting compromises that benefit no one. It's not like, I was thinking about, like, with regards to TPP, you know, it's not like we're the only ones that have to agree, and the biggest battle was sort of getting the U.S. on board. I mean, these are really complex agreements between nations across industries, and it's like we had to fight so hard to get there that we act like the only thing that matters is how we all feel about it. Well, there are other people at the table that have to agree to it, and we have to get all them to sign off before we can all bitch about it. I don't know. I thought her thing about the trade prosecutors was interesting. I've never heard that before. I think that's what she called them, right?
I mean, it's echoing some of what you've heard from Donald Trump, right? The sort of cheating that goes on in the trade arena.
Yeah.
And that was kind of interesting. I agree with you on the complexity of the trade deals. What I think I like in the idea of more participation from the private sector, in addition to, you might get some skill and expertise that's helpful, is that it would force a lot of transparency, I think, because you would have to be very clear on what interests were actually there. And those interests are already represented through lobbying. So if you had more sunlight on that whole process, necessitated by more direct participation of industry, I think there could be some good results of that.
Well, I mean, I would just to continue the metaphor, I think sunlight sometimes discourages people from coming out of their hole to participate. And you might have people who are completely unwilling to. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about transparency generally, because I was listening to the Diane Rehm show and they were talking about WikiLeaks, and they were saying, you know, Assange's approach is 100% transparency all the time. And we really need to say, ask ourselves, like, is that a good thing? And as a person who, listen, my own campaign for city commission, I talk about transparency a lot. But I think that we have sort of reached this point where we need to talk about how much transparency we want in things and if we're always served by that transparency. And I don't know if you saw one of the WikiLeaks email was Neera Tanden, who I actually know from my time on Hillary Clinton's campaign, saying some really nasty things about Lawrence Lessig, who's a intellectual property guy. And he came out and said the most just amazing thing about her and his response to somebody saying, but like, I mean, like, she called him a dick. Like, she was not being nice when she said things about him in this email. And his response was so thoughtful and so, like, really getting to this conversation about transparency and really what that means when we want everything public. He says, I'm a big believer in leaks for the public interest. That's why I support Snowden and why I believe the president should pardon him. But I can't for the life of me see the public good in a leak like this, at least one that reveals no crime or violation of any important public policy. We all deserve privacy. The burdens of public service are insane enough without the perpetual threat that every thought shared with a friend becomes Twitter fodder. Neera has only ever served in public interest sector. Her work was always and only been devoted to advancing her vision of the public good. It is not right that she should bear the burden of this sort of breach. And I just think, like, you know, maybe as we push for more and more transparency in particular with regards to public service and public life and public deals like trade deals, we need to think about what that means and if that's always good. And, you know, if we doubt our systems and we doubt the people making those decisions within the system, and we really think that just, you know, info and transparency is going to save us, like, I'm just not really sure we're on the right track. And I've veered off until it's like the tireder you get, the more philosophical you get. And this is definitely the part of the program we've reached.
Well, I think that we are hoping that transparency gets us to accountability. And those are two different things.
Sarah and I have talked many times about our desire to age as gracefully as possible, and skincare is a huge piece of that. I spend a lot of time and money thinking about my skin, and I have added Ritual to my routine, which just gives me a lot of comfort. Ritual is here for us. They have created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted clinical studies, so we know it's working. They're taking the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual Hyacera is one of several Ritual products that I love. I take the daily multivitamin, I take a probiotic, and Hyacera is that once daily skincare supplement that is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. I recently met a friend for the first time in person as opposed to online, and we were discussing the fact that I am 43, and she said, I cannot believe how young you look. And I thought, thank you, Ritual, for that. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. And they've even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit right. It's time to get your problems solved.
Visit thirdlove.com and get 15% off your order with code PODCAST15.
There's not much worse than a dry, itchy scalp. Also, when you get your hair colored and then it does not last as long as you and your stylist discussed, it could be that unfiltered, mineral-filled water is the culprit. Hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin, and about 85% of the United States uses hard water, filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered shower head. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
And I think right now we feel like we don't have any mechanism for accountability. And so we think, well, more transparency will necessarily require that, when it could have the opposite effect long term. I think there's a balance. I think that we also have to adapt to sort of generational expectations regarding transparency. I think we do need to understand that the public is tired of feeling like there is always an angle that has nothing to do with the public interest with our politicians. We have to do something to reboot institutional trust. And maybe that requires the pendulum swinging really far in the direction of transparency for a while and then leveling off in the center. Now, listen, I don't see WikiLeaks as transparency, because WikiLeaks is... I agree with what Hillary Clinton said tonight, what Marco Rubio has said this week, that we shouldn't have foreign governments hacking our politicians to influence our elections. So I don't think that's transparency in the way that I describe the transparency that I think is important. I think press access is important, right? Like, there are elements of transparency that I think are distinctly American and part of our tradition that do help us with accountability. But they're, you know, as we do, we take things down roads maybe farther than they need to go sometimes in search of a result that might not be at the ends of those roads. That kind of reminds me, though, the other thing I wanted to talk about and get your take on. When Chris Wallace asked the question about the Clinton Foundation and separating from the Clinton Foundation in office, I understand that her talking point is the Clinton Foundation's amazing and wonderful and does the best things on earth. I thought it was a strange tactic to answer a question about kind of ethical walling off in the Oval Office by fully owning the Clinton Foundation, right? And it was so much we do this, we've done that, and we're going to continue doing this. I mean, the tone was not at all, yeah, I'm totally going to move along from that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, though, the only thing I think about, I think you're right, I think she could have said, address some of the issues with the separation, but I think what she's trying to do, which I think is important, is, again, I know you don't like false equivalency, but there has become this sort of only discussions about, you know, with regards to his foundation and her foundation, how they were all reacted, without the acknowledgement that the Clinton Foundation is a totally different animal that really does a lot of good in the world. And I think she could have been more, like I said, I think she could have been more forthright on the answer. But I do think that there is something to be said for distinguishing what the Clinton Foundation does, because I think that's gotten really lost in the whole conversation about her treatment with it. And I do think it's important to the conversation. So I don't know.
But that's a totally different, I mean, I agree with you, their foundation.
But he wasn't going to ask her the next systems. Question. You know, like, that was her chance. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't going to be like, okay, so now tell me what you think the Clinton Foundation does that's great. You know, like, she had to get it in there.
Well, that's an important question. How are you going to deal with these interests while you're in office? And the way she answered it by saying, you know, while I was at state, everything I did furthered the interests of the country. That, to me, that is one of the issues that I have with the Clintons. Because they trust their own intentions, they expect everyone else to. Mm-hmm. And I thought that question proved the point of the question. I thought that answer proved the point of the question in a way that
was.
But was
he talking about? Helpful. I thought he was talking about the way that they, what they've done in the past. I didn't. I must not have heard the question correctly as far as what they were going to do in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it as kind of all encompassing. This relationship was in place during your time in office, and what are we doing going forward? But I, you know, who knows? My TV could have been knocked out at some point in there. Well, thoughts, anything else you want to say about
the third? I thought it was hilarious where at the end where he was like, we told you not to do closing statements. How about a closing statement? I felt like that was a softball for her because you know sister had her closing statement ready.
Oh, yeah.
And he clearly did not.
But he knows his brand, right? So when in doubt, make America great again.
I mean, I think that Donald Trump's approach to further inflaming his base is not a winning strategy. And I think that he doubled down on that tonight at the debate. I don't think it will move the needle much. I thought her debate's performance was strong. I thought she picked up some good responses to things that he brought up in other debates. I think that all we're going to be talking about anyway is him saying he's not going to concede. So
to the extent that people in the middle or the center right, Republicans who are uncomfortable with Trump, watch this debate, I think that it is possible that Hillary Clinton could have lost some ground with those people. I don't think Trump gained anything from this debate. I think that the coverage will matter more than anything that happened at the debate tonight. That's my summary.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us and, you know, sticking with us through our late night analysis when we're tired and exhausted and weary, and being so supportive in previous podcasts when we were expressing weariness.
And we want to thank Christine, Sydney, Nicolette, and Paige, who support Pantsuit Politics along with a lot of other people. We really appreciate you continuing to help us make this possible. Please join us on Facebook and Twitter. We really appreciate any of your iTunes reviews and your emails, and we will talk with you again next Tuesday. Until then, keep it nuanced, y'all.